morning we're going to jump into part two of our lesson. Get your handout out, and we're just going to review a little bit and go over what we learned last week. Hit the high spots, because some of you weren't here. I started last week with a little testimony about this book. I taught it several years ago. It's been over 2 years ago when we were doing Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life by Don Whitney. When we got to the chapter on prayer, I found out that he had written a little bitty book on praying the Bible. And that's the book that you've got. So I got that book, and I love that book. And I just shared how frustrating prayer can be. And we started off with the statement, do you believe prayer is powerful? And I know everyone in here said yes. Do you believe prayer changes things? And everyone would say, well, yes. Why don't we pray more? And we saw a lot of times the reason can be because prayer seems boring to us. Because we have the same list. Look at your handout there. I have one. Where did I put it? Bring me a handout. I don't know where I put the one. I think I set it down somewhere. Y'all, I'm losing it. Well, I needed one of those because it's filled out.
Oh.
Babs, bring me one of those because it's filled out. That's, she's going to bring me one. I did. Okay. All right. She's got it. That's good. Thank you. Look with me right down at a number two at the bottom of the first page. We saw there the reason, you know, our prayer life, our prayer list, it really revolves around the same things, right? It revolves around our world. And look at those six things there. We're always praying about our family, right? Our children, our husbands, our grandchildren, our extended family. That's always first on our list because that's where our heart is as mothers. Then we pray about the future. You know, what's coming down the road? Lord, I'm going to trust you with the future. The future for my children. The future for me. The future that all the decisions, all the things, right? That's always on our hearts. Then there's always the pressure of finances. You're always praying, Lord, look at this month. There's not much money left for the month. We pray about our work. We pray about our church, our Christian concerns. You're involved with people in ministry. You have concerns. Kathy's all into the Samaritan's Purse, and I'm all into the Tis of the Season, and I'm praying about whatever I'm into that's in the church, right? And I'm praying for our staff. I'm praying for our church in general to be powerful in our community. Those are another area of concerns. And the last one is your current crisis, because you're either in a crisis, or you just left a crisis, or you're about to enter a crisis, because life is always full of unexpected twists and turns, right? So that's our list. And it doesn't change. So we get up in the morning, we have our quiet time with the Lord, we spend a little time in His Word, and then we turn to pray. And we get the list out. And sometimes it feels like we're praying the same thing, about the same, using the same words, praying the same old thing over and over. And that feels stagnant, and that feels boring. And it's not exciting. And we don't see much answer, maybe. And God's invisible. We believe He's there, but it's hard praying to an invisible person. And so last week we just said some things. Remember, we looked at the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was giving instruction, and He was saying, don't pray vain, repetitive things. And sometimes our praying can feel that way. It feels just like vain repetition to us. And so, you know, I'm always looking for a way to put oomph into my prayer life. Lord, I want to be a prayer warrior. Help me. And when I got this little book, it transformed my prayer life. I've been praying this way now for over 2 years. I was telling some girls at the back table, we were just talking about it. When you get old, like I am, one of the good things about being old is when you get up in the morning, you have time. You don't have to rush to be at work or rush to get the kids to school. You can get your coffee and you can sit down, and that's a blessing of being older. You have time to pray. And another thing about being older is you don't sleep as long. You might wake up at 4 in the morning and you're wide awake. It could be because you went to bed at 8:30. Because when you're older, you can go to bed earlier, you know? And you're awake and you're refreshed and it's 4 in the morning, and guess what? You've got 4 hours till 8 o'clock. And sometimes I'll sit in my chair and I'll get my coffee and I'll have my time with God. And you know, it's been 3 hours and I'm still sitting there and I'm enjoying my time with God so much. And it's because I've learned to pray the Bible. It's transformed my prayer life. I don't say the same old things about the same old things. In fact, I don't even look at my list. I let the Word of God be my springboard to send me into prayer. And every morning my prayers are different. They're fresh. And it's because I'm praying God's words to God. And so I love this method. That's why I wanted to revisit this little book. I taught it over 2 years ago, and I actually taught it on the day we were celebrating our 150th anniversary in our church. It was a busy day. Sunday school was cut short by 15 minutes, and it was a really fast little lesson. And so I thought, you know, let's revisit that book. And I think Carolyn's small group has gone through this little book. So this is like, you know, you're getting it for what, third time? But you know, remembering things and being reminded of things, remedial things, are good for us. That's the way we learn, right? And so this morning, let me look at what we looked at last week to see if there's anything else I wanted to say. We talked about this last week, that when we're born again, the Holy Spirit moves right in. It's the Holy Spirit in us that gives us the desire to pray. I don't want you to feel guilty. Oh, I've got to make myself pray. No, you don't have to make yourself. You have the Spirit of God in you. He gives you the desires. He brings His holy desires with Him when you're saved. He gives you the desire to pray. You know, if you've got that desire in your heart, even if you're not praying as effectively as you wish you were, if you have that desire in your heart to be a prayer warrior, that's evidence that the Holy Spirit of God is in you. That is good proof to you that you are truly a child of His. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, we saw out of two scriptures last week, Romans 8 and Galatians, that He causes you to cry out, Abba, Father. That's like saying Daddy to God. He lets you know God is your Father. You can come to Him and you can talk to Him and you can answer Him. Now let me think if there's anything else I wanted to say before we pick up this morning. We did talk about the method a little bit. It's different than Bible interpretation. When you study your Bible, you want to be very careful with your interpretation. You want to make sure your interpretation is correct. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. That's Bible study. That's not what we're talking about here in using the Bible as a springboard for prayer. Remember last week when we looked at a verse out of Psalm that said something about if you mark the time and suddenly your mind thinks about somebody named Mark that needs prayer? And so you just stop and start praying for Mark. Well, that's not what that Bible verse meant, but that is what I mean when I'm teaching you to get to the Word of God and let it move your heart to prayer and use the words of the Bible in your praying. And so there are no interpretive rules when you're using it for the purpose of prayer. You're letting it stimulate your soul to take you to prayer. Does that make sense? I don't know if I made that clear. But you're just going to let God's word stimulate your heart, and you pray about whatever comes to your mind. Anything and everything. Letting God's word lead you in your prayer time. All right, now let's pick up this morning. Let me see where we're going to start. I had it marked. Dun, 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 dun. All right, get your handout out. And we're going to start this morning with a quote, and I'm not sure, I think it's on that second page, by a pastor. His name was Robert Murray McShane. He was a great Scottish 19th century pastor. Let's start with his quote. Oh, you know what? I forgot to pray. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask you this morning to make this a meaningful lesson in our lives. I hate that it had to come in two parts, and I hate that some missed our first part. But Lord, I pray that you will stir in us a desire to be women of God who pray. We do believe prayer is powerful. We do believe you hear us and you answer us. We do believe that prayer is the means where we're working together with you and you're bringing your kingdom and your will on earth through our prayers. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who is in us, who gives us the desire to pray, who makes us want to pray, who gives us a sense that you're our daddy, you're our father, you're a loving father, and we can come to you and we have access to you. And so, Father, this morning I pray that you will make this room a holy place as we study this most important subject of prayer. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at his quote there. This is what he said. He said, turn the Bible into prayer. This is the best way of knowing the meaning of the Bible and of learning to pray. Now, that's just such a simple thing. You're going to take the scripture. You're going to take it verse by verse. You're going to talk to God about whatever thoughts are prompted by the inspired words that you're reading. If your mind wanders from the text, just let your mind wander Godward. Then return to the text. If you come to a verse you don't understand, well, just skip it and go to the next verse. If you don't understand the next one, move on to the next one. If you do understand it, but nothing comes to your mind to pray for, just keep moving. If you're in the middle of your time of reading and maybe simple thoughts enter in, we'll say stop and pray about those simple thoughts. You may read 20 or 30 verses on a given day and have only a few things come to mind to pray for. I'm like that. Some mornings I get up and I'm foggy. Are you ever like that? And I just have made it my habit. I sit down with my word. I'm in prayer. And maybe, you know, I'm in a fog. You know, I'm going, Lord, please lift the fog. And I may not have much inspiration at all. But can I tell you, there have been mornings where I've sat there and God has spoken so powerfully to me as I've been praying. And, I mean, he's brought things to mind. And I felt like my prayer time was so productive. I felt like I really was with him. We really communicated. So know that. It's not always going to be bells and whistles, but go on anyway in being faithful to come to the Word of God. I need to say something this morning when we talk about the Psalms. There's a section in the book of Psalms They're called the imprecatory psalms. And they are psalms where the psalmist is calling on God. He's the king of Israel, David. He's calling on God to judge his enemies, who are also presumed to be God's enemies. He had a lot of enemies. And so you may come to a verse like this. Look on your handout at Psalm 137:9. It says, "Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rocks." Well, are you going to pray that prayer about your enemies? Just take their babies and dash them against the rocks. No. What about Psalm 58:6? "Oh God, break the teeth in their mouth." God, that person that's mean to me, just break their teeth. I'm not going to pray like that, am I? Psalm 58:8. "God, let them be like a snail that dissolves into slime." That's a good one, isn't it? No, I'm not going to take those verses and pray those towards certain people. I might be tempted to, but I'm not going to do it. But here's what you can do in Psalm verses like that, in the group of Psalms called the imprecatory Psalms. You can take the sins of our nation. You can pray these things. You can pray against the enemy of our souls. You can say, "God, turn him into slime and may they melt away. Break their teeth." I can do that. Racism, I can pray against it using these psalms with a holy kind of anger. God, judge that. I pray with an attitude that I'm praying for justice and for righteousness to win the spiritual victory over sin and rebellion against him. Now, what are some benefits to praying this way? Let's write them down. Let's write some benefits down. Here's the first one I want you to write down. It says this. It makes it easy to continue in prayer. It just gives you movement in your prayer. All right, here's another one. It will expand or contract to accommodate however much or how little time you have for prayer. Now, it will work for 4 minutes, and it will work for 4 hours. You're busy, you only have 10 minutes. Use your 10 minutes in the Word of God. Here's another one. You don't have to get very far in the text to pray the Bible. You'll find as soon as you get into it, things will start coming to your mind, and you can lift them into prayer. Another thing, you never run out of things to say when you pray the Bible. You're given new words. Like, I don't guess you've ever thought about a snail turning into slime. That's a new picture for prayer, isn't it? That's what the Word of God gives you, new pictures as you're praying. Here's another thing. You won't pray empty, repetitive phrases. You know, I could just about don't tell Bill I said this, but if he says the blessing, in my mind, I know exactly what he's going to say. Because we pray the same thing. I'm just like, "No, don't do that, Bill. Let's get out of that. Let's get into..." Don't tell him I said this. Well, we'll move on. Here's another one. You will use biblical words when you talk to God. You see, your prayers will include the words of God that are inspired words. They're powerful words. Let's look at this quote on your handout by Joni Erickson Tada. Do you know who she is? She's about my age, and when she was a young girl, she had an accident and became a paraplegic. And she's had an amazing ministry. She can only move her mouth. She paints these amazing pictures with her mouth, holding the pencil or the brush in her mouth. Here's what she says. "I have learned to season my prayers with the Word of God. It is a way of talking to God in His language, speaking His dialect, using his vernacular, employing his idioms. That is not a matter simply of divine vocabulary. It's a matter of power. When we bring God's word directly into our praying, we are bringing God's power into our praying. I love that. Hebrews 4:12 declares that God's word is living, and so it infuses our prayers with life and vitality. God's word is also active, injecting energy and power into our prayers. When you're praying the Bible, you aren't just praying ordinary words. You are praying words of spirit and life. Well, Teresa, why did you pick the Psalms? Let's answer that question. Let's write some things down. Number one, the Psalms were inspired by God for the purpose of being sung to God. They were Psalms. In fact, write this down. It was the actual songbook of Israel. It is as though God said to the Israelites, "Now listen, you people, I want you to praise me, but you don't know how to praise me." And that's a problem, because I deserve to be praised. You can't praise me because you really don't know enough about me. And unless I reveal myself to you, because I'm invisible to you, unless I reveal myself, you're not going to be able to praise me. Therefore, I want you to praise me. And since I do, and since it's good for you to praise me, I'm going to give you the words that I want you to use. And those words are written down in the Psalms. So write it this way on your handout. God gave the Psalms to us so that we would give the Psalms back to Him. Back to Him. You see, the book of Psalms is the only book of the Bible that is inspired for that very exact purpose, for you to give them back to God. It's a very, very special book indeed. Let's write this down. It gives us the right words as we come before God day after day. I'm all about words. When I'm thinking about teaching, I'm trying to think of a good way to say things. And the Psalms give us the right words to use. And the Holy Spirit within me causes me to yearn to praise God. And in the Psalms, I find the way that is worthy to praise our glorious God. Now, I'm going to give you the very simple suggestion that Don Whitney gives in this book. Let's write it down. He wants you, first of all, to take the Psalms a day approach. What is that, Teresa? Well, it's this. You're going to take about 30 seconds or so, and you are going to search five different Psalms. Now, because I'm old and because I have time, I do all five every day. I go through five chapters of the Psalms every day. You are busy if you're younger. You may not have time to do that. Maybe you're just going to pick one Psalm. Maybe you'll have time for two Psalms. But he wants you to start and pick one, two, three, four, or five. There are 150 Psalms in chapters in the Psalms. So that, if you divide it by 30, that's five chapters a day. If you read five chapters of the Psalms a day, you will go through the book of Psalms every month. That'll put you going through the book of Psalms 12 times in a year. Now here's how it works. The first Psalm of your five is the day of the month. So what psalm did I go to today in my reading? I actually went to Psalm 31 because you add 30 and don't go there. All right, that's your psalm of the day. So we're going to say today, if you're starting your plan today, it would be December 1. Then you're going to add 30 to that to get to your next psalm. So what is 30 plus 1? 31. So my second psalm would be Psalm 31. To get to your third psalm, you add 30 more. What is that? 31 plus 30 is? 31 plus 30 is? 61. Y'all are good class, good. To get to my fourth psalm, I add 30 more. What is 61 plus 30? 91. Look at you. To get to my fifth psalm, I add 30 more. 91 plus 30 is? 121. Those are my five psalms. You would pick one of those, two of those, three of those, four of those, or all five of those. Now, there's a chart in the back of your book on page 91 and 92 that give you this simple method for you to use, the five psalm a day approach. Now, I didn't put this on your handout, but listen to me. There's an app. It's called the Five Psalm app. And if you will download that on your phone, that's what I use, the Psalm a Day app. And every morning I just take my smartphone, I sit down in my chair, and I use my phone as my Bible to go through the five chapters a day. When you open up that app, there's a little place at the top where you can customize your app. You can pick the version of the Bible you want. You can also pick large print. I love that part because, you know, us older people need large print. And you can also add the book of Proverbs, because if you'll read five Psalms a day and one chapter of Proverbs a day, you will go through each of those books every month. Proverbs is written by the wisest man that ever lived on the earth, Solomon. Why would you not spend time listening to the wisest man in the world who ever lived? And so if you're in the Psalms every day and you're in Proverbs every day, they're being your springboard for your prayer time. And it's so enriching. Most months have 30 days. There are a few months that have 31. What do you do on the 31st day? Because you don't have five psalms for that day. He suggests that you go back to Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in all of the Bible. It is 176 verses. Most likely, on the day you were assigned Psalm 119, you didn't finish it because it's 176 verses. And Psalm 119 is one of the most beautiful psalms in all of the Bible. And so he suggests with the months that have 31 days, on that 31st day, spend it in Psalm 119. And Proverbs actually has a 31st chapter. Now, you get up, you read God's Word, you meditate on God's Word, now it's time for prayer. You don't have to think about, well, where am I going to go? I think, no, what is today's date? And I think, well, today's December 1st. I'll go to Psalm 1. And that takes me to where I'm going to pray. Now, here's another benefit I want you to write down. I will regularly and systematically encounter each of the 150 psalms. Let's talk about the psalms for just a minute. The psalms are actually a little Bible. Every doctrine is in the book of Psalms. It's there either in bud or it's there in flower, but they're all in that little book. Here's another reason the Psalms are perfect for your prayer time. It's because God has inspired a psalm for every sigh, S-I-G-H, of the soul. You're going to cover the entire range of human emotion in the book of Psalms. There's exhilaration, there's frustration, there's discouragement, there's guilt, there's forgiveness, joy, gratitude, dealing with your enemies, contentment, discontentment, you name it. It's all in the book of Psalms. And the main reason that the Psalms work so well in prayer is this, and I want you to write it down. The very purpose that God put the Psalms in His Word is for us to put them in our words back to Him. Now, you can pray from any part of the Bible, but I'm challenging you as a Sunday school class to pray using the Psalms as you begin. Now let's look at an example of what praying this way would look like. Suppose you have some friends you are praying for, and they called you and they say, "Please pray for me. My husband and I are going through a very difficult trial." Have you ever had somebody call you and say, "Please pray for me"? And so you say, "Well, of course I will." Now, before I learn this method, I might pray something like this. "Oh, Lord, I want to pray for my friends. They need your help. They need encouragement. They need answers. Would you lead them?" Now, that's just kind of like praying the same old things about the same old things. But I want you to listen how my prayer is different. It takes on new meaning if I come, for example, to Psalm 43 in my next morning prayer time. I would pray like this. It would sound very different. "Oh God," that Psalm 43 says this, "Vindicate me, O God. Defend my cause against an ungodly people, from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me. Oh Lord, please vindicate my friends. What has happened in their life is hard, it's unfair." Verse 2 says, "For you are the God in whom I take refuge." Oh Lord, thank you that you're available to be a refuge for them. Verse 3 says this, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill, to your dwelling." And then I would say, "God, you are the God of strength. Be their light. Lead them in this dark time. Bring them to a new place where your word is exalted over everything else." Verse 4 says this, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. I will praise you, God, with the lyre." Lord, would you let a new place be for them? Bring them to joy. Bring them to a new place. Verse 5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him as my salvation and my God." Oh Lord, don't let them despair. Don't let them be distressed in their souls. God, don't let them throw the towel in, because you are their hope. Keep the answers coming. Answers are on their way. Oh, it's so sweet to belong to you. You see how I'm just taking the word of God, and I'm praying for my friends. For example, I'm going to pray through Psalm 20. Here's what Psalm 20 says. "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble." Lord, would you please answer me today? I'm in trouble. I need you today. My finances are in trouble. My body is in trouble. My children are in trouble. My relationships are in trouble. My friend is experiencing trouble. We're going through troubles in our country. We have troubles in our church. God, you have the answer. Would you send it today? God, I'm looking for your answer today. I'm yearning to do what you want me to do. Oh, answer me today. My eyes are on you. Here's what the second half of verse 1 says. "May the name of God, the God of Jacob, protect you." Oh God, thank you for your names. I run to your names because they are a strong tower. and I can run into them and be saved. You're my healer. You're my provider. I'm just thinking of all the names. You're my peace. You're the one who makes me holy. You're my righteousness. You're my king. You're my victory. You're the Son of God. And I'm seated with you in heavenly places. Verse 2 says, may he send you help from the sanctuary. Lord, I'm not alone. Lord, I'm not without resources. Lord, send me help because I am your daughter. God, help me with my finances. Help me with my children. Help me at my job. Send me help today with the temptations that come my way. Temptations to gossip or to speak unkindly or to speak falsely. Send me help from your throne room today. Verse 3 says this, may God remember all your offerings and regard with favor your sacrifices. Yes, Lord, I've offered you sacrifices. God, take my whole life. It's a sacrifice. I'm just going to climb up on the altar. I'm going to present myself to you to be a living sacrifice. God, make me generous in my giving of my time, my resources, my spiritual giftings. Make me a blessing to the body of Christ. God, I may forget times I've given, but you haven't forgotten any of them. Now, that just gives you a little taste of how you take a verse of Scripture and you pray it. Now, we've got a few minutes left in our lesson. I want you to turn back to Psalm 123 that's on your handout. And I'm going to give you 5 quick minutes to pray that psalm. Psalm 23. It's on your handout. I just get notebooks when I'm doing my prayer time, and I just jot things down. It helps me to journal while I pray. I also found this wonderful devotion book on the Psalms, and I use one of these a day. Usually the first psalm of the day I'm working through this book. It takes me about 9 months to get through this book. So if you want to, as you're going through Psalm 23, you might want to jot notes around it of what God is saying to you. So take a few minutes right now and read through that psalm. Pray through that psalm. Let that psalm be the springboard to send you to prayer. And start now. All right, stop. We're out of time. How did it go? I know you only had a little taste of it. Here's what some people have written, some responses to praying this way. Some people say, well, I liked it because my mind didn't wander. My prayer was more about God and less about me. Some said the time was too short. Others said it seemed like a real conversation with a real person. Some said it was amazing. This psalm spoke directly to the life situation I'm in right now. Others said I thought more deeply about what the Bible says. I had a greater assurance that I was praying God's will. I prayed about things I don't normally pray about. I prayed about the things I normally do pray about, but in a different way. I didn't say the same old things about the same old things. Now, what I want you to do is read this book. There's a lot. I kind of gave you the cliff notes. There's a lot in this book I didn't say. And so read it. It doesn't take long to read. And then I want you to try praying this way. And then I want you to tell me about it, because I love hearing how God's working in your life. Teachers love to get feedback. So give me feedback on this. I really want you to try it. Now raise your hand if you promise you'll try it. How many of you? Keep your hands up. I'm looking. I'm making notes. All right, good. I'm going to be calling you and checking on you, right? Not really. Let's pray together. Our Father, bless your name this morning. You're so worthy of our praise. Thank you for your spirit you've put in us that changes our wanter, that makes us want to cry out to you and call you Daddy, to run to you and with everything and anything in our lives. Thank you for giving us access, Lord Jesus, through your sacrifice on the cross. You just tore open that veil, and we can enter into the very Holy of Holies, and we can come to your altar, and we can come as your daughters. And prayer is such a privilege. And forgive us that we don't do it more. So make us a Sunday school class who prays. And I pray that as these women try out this method, I pray, God, that you'll meet them in a powerful way and transform our prayer lives into things that are powerful for your kingdom, that your kingdom will come, your will be done through our prayers. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I will see you next week.